Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Now, Stephanie, say that line.
Open your hearts. We say it together, right?
They said however you want to do
it. Oh.
So I'm saying you say it.
All right. Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah. This podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We are a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy,
in quarantine,
hey, we do whatever we want, which is basically talk to people we like, sometimes their advice episodes. This is not one of them.
This one is fun. We talk to a true power couple, which is fun to me. When we have a power couple on, Andy, I like to just take notes. Mm-hmm. I like to take it in. I like to take notes.
Are you trying to emulate? Are you saying, like, in our you need us to be a power couple?
Well, absolutely. Uh-huh. So that, you know, hopefully we will ascend.
Yes.
And I just want to take note of watching, you know, these other power couples and be like, how are they doing it?
Right.
How are they still enjoying each other? How
right.
are they still in a place in their relationship where they choose to do a podcast
yes.
interview together?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's love.
Is it, you know, is it something like they have both been able to climb the heights of the entertainment world together? Is it that they found a magical gem hidden in a bog, and hence that's the power and the power couple?
Andy, I know how much you loved Wonder Woman 1984, but I'm going to need you to stop talking about magical gems in bogs.
No. I don't know if we can talk about our feelings about that in public and still have careers. So.
Oh, well, wait, what's her name? I think Patty Jenkins will just forgive me. What? I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know either. I know that Gal Gadot is vengeful, Naomi.
I know
so
that.
Don't say a word.
Girl, I will say a word, which is what I always say, which is, honey, I'm sitting here waiting for Gal Gadot to act, okay? I'm waiting for Gadot. That's what I'm doing with her when I watch her on the TV screen.
I mean, I know that's a common pun, but is there any way that we, if we wrote that, so it's halfway between Beckett
mm-hmm.
and a DC film.
Oh, I thought it was just literally the process of two people watching Wonder Woman 1984 waiting for her to have a facial expression. And it never happens.
That's really funny.
And the lone tear doesn't count. But look, that's not why we're here right now.
Oh, my God. Okay. I am so weird. Naomi, to borrow a consonant from you, I am so weary.
Absolutely. Y'all,
with all the wind in my vocal cords.
This morning we went to Trader Joe's.
Not just this morning, the earliest we could possibly go. Okay, you can go to, if you have like pre-existing conditions, you can go during senior hours.
Yes, if you're not a senior.
Naomi's, what adjective would you use to describe your asthma? I was going to say chronic. It's definitely chronic, but severe.
I have the lungs of a 19th century orphan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how I would describe my asthma. Okay, I'm like a damn chimney sweep.
Yeah, you're basically Mate Juan. Wasn't that about coal miners?
I have no idea.
You have the lungs of Mate Juan. Pinkertons, if they saw your lungs, they would try to shoot you in order to destroy your ability to unionize.
You're obsessed with Pinkertons. You're always bringing up Pinkertons, Andy.
Those are so murderous.
So, yes, we went today during senior hours, and It was so funny because we called in advance to make sure we could go, because literally there is nothing that would be more embarrassing than being turned away from a Trader Joe's. Can you imagine?
Sure. Going, hey, we know you said that if you have like pre-existing conditions, you could shop during this time. And so Naomi has this, and they're just like, fucking hoof it, pal. By the way, there are, the woman, the bouncer is a 1920s bouncer.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely the teacher. But like, also, but we called in advance and we were like, but are you sure? Like, it's somebody. And then the guy was like, trust me. He's like, just say, he's like, just tell him Mikey said it's okay.
Tell him Mikey said ya.
Sent you, which I was like, okay, what is this like 1920s Little Italy energy Mikey's sending us with? But we walked up, Andy, and literally she was like, the bouncer outside of the TJ's, okay? She wasn't even gonna let you cross that threshold. She was like, these are senior hours. These are for senior citizens only. And I was like, we called Mikey. I have
Naomi started weeping. she fell to the ground on her knees, grabbing the woman by her legs. It'd be Mikey Sedgwick.
I just like show her my inhaler. I'm like, I'm struggling. But she let
I us. I had three masks. I had two face masks and a face shield on. I am not. LA is the number one hot spot now.
Yeah, it's not a game. And you know how we are about Trader Joe's. And we hadn't been. And I want to say, Andy, we hadn't been closer to 3 months. Closer to three, I think.
we were down to. We had so little food that, like, I was like, eat my snacks, like, were just like potato chips, because that was all that was left. And I would have meals that were, I said snacks, but really it was just like my full meals would be potato chips and pretzels.
You at one point you literally did just put potato chips and pretzels in a bowl.
And then in a cereal bowl.
Yeah. And then you sliced what remained, the good part left of an apple.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So we had a couple bruised apples.
And you were like, all right, that'll be it. So we finally went up in there, and you know, we were there early. And you know how Andy and I do, we each have a cart. And it was so funny because we walked in and we're like, oh, we need a big one. And she's like, oh, there it is. And I grab one. And then you're like, I need one too. And she's like, you do? And I'm like, ma'am, we're loading up. Like, she didn't realize we would both need a cart.
This is the thing that drives me insane in this pandemic, is that I don't understand other people who are like, yeah, I'm just going to pop into this closed box, right, the Schrodinger's box of sickness to grab something. Maybe I'll get sick. Maybe I won't get sick. We'll find out in 2 weeks.
And why don't we just take our time while we're in there? Our time while we're in there. Let's just make it a leisurely walk.
I'm going to pop in and grab some olive oil. Maybe I'll just wander around for an hour.
See what else I might need.
It's like, I'm like, no, you go with the plan. It was really like I did on Naomi's Instagram, I did a little thing as like, it really feels like you're going into war. And I was just like,
the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. Me and the other some bitches from B Company are going to take that bridge in Quezon. Maybe we'll live, maybe we won't. Whose war is this anymore? It's not ours. It's Uncle Sam's.
Oh my God. What was that book we read in middle school? It's like 12 Hours in My Life or something.
The things they carried.
Thank you. Very correct.
I just read Jason Aaron, the comics writer, did a mini series called The Other Side that I just read. That's why it was in my head.
It was in your head.
It's very good.
It was in your head.
It's very good. Although it's very.
Andy, save your recommendation for the Patreon, okay? Save your rec for the page, okay?
Hey, by the way, this show is supported by Patreon listeners. If you want to become a Patreon listener, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
Basically, it's kind of what this is, but for longer, which is just me and Andy talking, connecting about life, getting into it.
Yeah.
Two bonus episodes a month. Can you dig it?
That I really felt like Marc Maron there. I didn't mean to like pop into that, but since you mentioned it.
Well, no, I like when you take a natural segue. I think it's much better to take a natural segue and then come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can't understand people who just want to pop in. I'm going for a war. It's a campaign. I'm going to get as much as we can to last us for 2 months.
Of course. Ideally.
Because every time you're going in there, you're taking your health into your hands.
Let's also say we got to Trader Joe's at 8:15 a.m. on the first Monday of the new year, the first day everyone is back to whatever jobs they have, if they still got them.
The first day everyone's back on their bullshit.
And there was only one box of cornflakes left. This is why you got to grab what you can get at Trader Joe's. Because literally, we walked in there and Andy had gotten the last box of cornflakes. How was it at 8:15 in the morning? They've been open 15 minutes. How the hell they had a cornflakes?
Maybe there were some senior gentlemen in there before being like, that's the only cereal I like. But also, here's the other thing that's like driving me nuts in this. It's comparison shopping. No, know what you're going to get. Look it up online and grab it. The most pausing you should be doing at a shelf is to check an expiration date. And even then, Naomi, you told me you wrote on my list, check expiration dates.
Correct.
Even then, I'm just like, you get what you get and you don't get upset.
And I hear you, but I tell you what I do, right? Because you don't see me. I'm over in produce, honey. Not the, like the stuff that's in the bags, like the bag of spinach or whatever. I don't touch it, but I stand there and I use my keen eagle eyes to read the faintest sign. So I managed to get some spinach with a Best Buy January 15th. And I said, yes, that's it. They had January 13th. I said, no, thank you. Give me that 2 extra days of spinach.
I didn't know that that eagles were severely nearsighted, by the way.
Well, that's me. That's me, okay? I'm a weary eagle.
By the way, what did your cashier say to you when you pulled your giant cart?
Well, as she was loading up my 4 lemonades and 2 apple juices, she said, "You got a lot of kids?"
so presumptive. I pull my cart up. It's like brimming. And the guy goes, "What are you shopping for a studio?" And I'm like, we don't have to have that. You don't have to judge me for the things I'm buying.
It's just like, don't guess. Just don't guess. I get you maybe want to do some morning small talk. That is not a problem.
Oh, no problem, small talk.
Don't guess. Just be like, hey, you like this? Ooh, this is my favorite. Ooh, how was your New Year's? I'll even take that, even though we all know New Year's was sitting in a damn house. But don't you come up in here trying to guess my backstory, trying to guess my X-Men origin, okay? I'm just there to get some shit. Rude, rude, rude.
We small talked about Mochi. That's great. That's great. But don't guess. You'd be like, oh, hey, so what? You're a disgusting pig? You're eating all this food? I'm like, please don't say that to me, sir.
Oh, anyway, we could get on Trader Joe's for forever, but we really need to stop because as you've already heard the dulcet tones, we have wonderful guests today.
I love that you could hear their entire dynamic in that intro.
I know.
Naomi, who are our guests today?
We are sitting here talking to Tig Notaro and Stephanie Allen. Honey, talk about a true power couple. You know Tig, okay? You know Tig from her show One Mississippi, the movie Instant Family, Star Trek Discovery. She doing it all. You know Steph from One Mississippi as well, L Word Generation Q, and Steph is a member of the improv group Wild Horses, which she is in with Mary Holland, Lauren Lapkus, lovely friend of the show, Aaron Whitehead, and on Saturday, January 16th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, I will be on the Wild Horses show. Can you imagine, you guys?
That's so exciting. I'm a fan of all those people. I'm a fan of Wild Horses specifically from before we moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of getting to know Lauren a little bit and just like you being on the show is very exciting.
Well, it's the only show I've agreed to do. It's probably the only show I'll do in 2021, quite honestly. I'm not performing until I get snatched for the vax, which is what I call getting my vaccine bod. But if you guys want to see the Wild Horses show, I talk with them up top, and then whatever we talk about will inspire their improv. You can go to dynastytypewriter.com. And again, that's Saturday, January 16th, 5 p.m. Pacific time. And tickets are $5. So if you got a little something, little holiday money, come on through.
This is a real fun episode. We were all exhausted. This is another one that we recorded before the election.
And also we recorded it at like 9 p.m., right? It was like the
Just had a full day of child rearing. They had just put their kids
to bed. They have twins. They have twin toddlers. And so they were literally at the end of the day chatting with us. And I was like, thank you for this blessing. This is a lot, though.
By the way, I wanted to thank our friend Anna Rubinova for helping out with the sound on this.
Yes. Anna Rubinova, one of the creators of Left-Handed Radio.
Thank you, queen.
Thank you. Wow. All right. I'll let that one stand. Leave it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm off the rails. Getting no sleep last night and waking up early to get groceries has not improved my mental state.
Honestly, I think it's fun. You're loopy.
Real quick, Naomi, on Wednesday, we do our Twitch show, 2 p.m. PST. It's real fun. twitch.tv/couplestherapypod. And also, Jubu t-shirts. All right.
We got t-shirts, Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew. So if you enjoy the Twitch show, if you just have loved the pod in quarantine, pick up a Quarantine Crew shirt, honey.
If your pockets are flush from the holidays, why not drop a little Skrilla on some t-shirts?
Nice, nice. Also, if you're a Jubu, if you've got a Jubu, get your boo a Jubu tea, baby. They're soft, they're fun. And people are sending me pics of boos in these shirts, and I'm loving it. It's giving me life. It's warming my heart. So check it out.
Yeah.
Links for that on all of our socials.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Can I say it this time?
Do it.
Roll it. Yes. Now, see, that gives me a lot to unpack. I said, however you want to do it. Tig said, Stephanie, say it. Now.
Is that we're going to go right into it.
And I didn't want to say it.
Is that the dynamic? Go.
No.
I don't get it. You do it. Yeah. There's not a world where I would say loosen your butt.
Well, that's why I was thought we were going to alternate and I set you up by open your heart. And then I thought you were going to have to say that one.
Yeah, I was not wanting to say that one. So I thought I would have you say that one.
That's fair. That's like when I would get tricked into doing like, I'm very sex neutral. And in improv scenes, I would get tricked into having to do something, mime something sexual. And it just destroyed my soul.
Yeah.
What sort of sex miming?
Miming jerking off or stuff like that. Like someone pimps you into it on stage.
Why would you even say that? See, I'm sex negative. And so to even say that phrase is upsetting to me.
I don't like saying it either. I was asked for an example. I did it in the parlance of the time.
Okay, I need us to reset. We have company. Now, Tig and Stephanie.
Yes.
Now,
yesterday was our 5-year wedding anniversary, if you're wondering.
I am wondering.
That was the first question.
5 magical years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What I would love to know from both of you, when you got together, even before married, did you always know you wanted to have kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had different numbers in mind.
Okay. Okay. So not 2 at once, maybe.
Well, I always pictured myself with one child and kind of a rotating dating situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I had named my child.
So romantic.
So romantic.
The fairy tale dream.
Well, I hadn't had luck in meeting someone where I thought, oh, I could for sure find their dead body in our house, you know?
Uh-huh.
That didn't necessarily appeal to me. Whereas when I met Stephanie, I thought, oh, I could find that dead body in my house. You know?
That's interesting. That's how you decided on love. For me, it is, would I want this person to take care of me? Like, would I let him wipe my butt when I'm infirm? You know what I mean?
Would you loosen your butt for him?
Exactly. That's the question.
Did you ask that question if he would do that for you?
That was in the vows.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Will you wipe my butt when I'm infirm? Now, Stephanie, you're saying like, okay, it took a while to be like, will I ever, is there someone whose body I want to find? Did you feel that same way, Stephanie? I don't know if it's just the long hair, but to me, you seem like a romantic.
I think I am a romantic, and I don't think I was thinking about dead bodies.
Okay.
I am a romantic. I'm being taken the wrong way right now.
No, I'm teasing. I know.
My hair is this short because of COVID. Otherwise, I would look way more romantic. This looks like alcoholism, but it is COVID. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I wanted 5 kids, but I had never really been around kids, and I actually had never held a baby until we had ours. So when I was a little off in I was picturing like older kids, like, and I was like, oh, it's so fun to have a full house and all these people. But then when we had twins, I was like, oh,
This is plenty.
This is enough.
Well, and when we got together and she said she wanted five kids, I thought, you know, that sounded fun with her. And so I felt open to it. But
why five?
Movies. She had seen people with five kids in movies.
I like whenever I'd see movies with like a bunch of kids, I was like, this is great. And I had friends that had big families and I liked everybody around.
Did you grow up, like, do you have siblings?
Yeah, okay. I'm in the middle and I have a sister that's a year older and a brother that's a year younger. Oh, so we're God. All, oh, we're kind of like triplets.
Yeah. Bosom buddies. I'm an only child, so I really like the idea. Like, I remember like growing up, my mom did not really like noise. Like if I was like making noise, she'd be like, why do you have such heavy feet? You know what I mean? So like, I'm so not used to when you say like, all these people sounds fun. I'm like, oh God, overwhelming.
So no interest in kids on your end?
I did at some point, and then at some point realized I don't have the personality for it. Like, I don't actually think I would be a good parent.
Why? What in your personality is...
I don't know how to... Well, Andrew, back me up on this.
I'm not stepping anywhere near this.
No, I don't know how to let people I love, like, be their own person.
in what way?
Well, that's a very, like, I mean, you're talking about your mother. You're saying that you would be, like, you would take after your mother in some way.
Well, yeah, but even, like, with you, you know, I've really learned and have to keep relearning how to not try to, in my desire to help you, like, I need to just say it once and let you live your life as an adult. And
why do you need so much help?
I'm kind of a weirdo. We're having a conversation now. I'm not like that. I'm not like off in the clouds or just like speaking gibberish or like I'm not. But I'm also just like, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to write this weird thing. And obviously everyone's going to want to like out here in Los Angeles, I'll write something weird. And like a million people want to make this thing. And then it's just like, no, that's not reality, Andy. You got to be here. And like you write this like strange sci-fi thing that's not realistic to think. So I'm off in the I live in my own little dream world a little bit. And so I think Naomi is talking about like grounding me. We were just having a conversation about this right before, and I'm being somewhat vague. I realize that.
Well, just like a work thing, and I tend to be like, you should do it this way, you know? Which this is a grown man. Can you imagine if I made the person or was like there when the person first took a breath? Oh, I would know what was good for you for the rest of your damn life. I would be terrible.
But you're not like your mom. Like, your mom is kind of like, her mom sees her as an extension of herself, kind of. So the choices that Naomi makes reflect on her. So she is very like, you have to do this. You have to do this. And then if you don't do that, she gets very angry. Is that?
Well, yes, but let's bring it back to our company. You both seem to be very grounded individuals. Meaning like you both have a calm energy in general. You know what I mean? Like even just like to a total stranger, I'm like, those two got it together. You know what I mean? Like just like mellow. Tig is like, yeah, I had a whole new back put in, but I'm chilling. Like the way you can just make that work.
Only had a whole new back put in, but it didn't work. Even after the whole new one went in, I was like, well, here we go.
Oh,
I'm just bolted together now. No, my spine grew together, but it was like looking bleak there for almost a year. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
My spine finally grew together. So all is well in spine world. And I wasn't chill. I was not chill. I was not chill. But I think we know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I think we also know that we have other sides to us.
Of course. But
at the very, like the kind of like front facing side is very calm. Whereas it's very obvious you're talking to two insecure, anxious individuals.
Right.
Like, I don't believe in hiding that. And I think that people with like healthy boundaries and like who know how to self-soothe, they hide it. You know what I mean? Like, so that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I feel like you guys are like self-soothed, boundary. Like Steph, when Tig was going through all that health stuff, how did you handle, like, for instance, okay, so Tig is already, like, freaking out. Obviously, he's like, something's going on. My body's not working. It's not doing what it needs to be doing. But then, obviously, you want to support her, but also you're terrified. Like, what is happening? How long is this going to last? What did you kind of do to take care of yourself during that?
I don't know. I don't know, because us being together, we've spent so much time in hospitals that it's, and they've always been scary, I guess, but we've kind of had a really good time there. And like, we've slept.
Well,
I don't mean.
I
love hanging out at the hospital.
She's having a party and I'm flatlining. Stephanie was with her friend. Where did y'all go? Where'd you and Zoe go? I love this story.
We were at the National Gallery in DC, and we went into the area where it's like the food court. And I was like, oh my God, this is exactly like Cedars. Like, this is the same exact, thing. And she was like, oh, I've never been to Cedars. And I was like, you're kidding. And like
you have to go.
And then I thought, oh, she lives in Highland Park. I bet she is districted to a different hospital.
And what's crazy is when she was having that conversation, I was on a podcast with somebody, and I was talking about, somebody had asked me about something with my health, and I said, and I do mean this just in a general sense that we all have our stuff and we have our struggles, but I meant it very specifically about health. And I was saying, you know, and I know we've all gone through this, and I meant it in a general sense, but I was very specifically talking about health, because I know I'm not the only one alive that's struggled with my health. But after I did that podcast, I realized actually probably not everyone is going to the hospital every year, a few times a year, for surgeries and operations and recovering for months on end and then trying to resurface in life. And we kind of had that happen at the same time, and we laughed so hard because she was telling me that she's like, I know where every valet parking is, I know the different towers at Cedars,
I know where food's delivered,
I know where you get your pickup for food, and meanwhile I'm just like highly drugged on, you know, in a hospital bed. But
what I was going to say is, like, I do think there is some weird sense of humor that comes into play in those situations. And even in this past surgery a year ago, at one point we decided to have a tube put down Tig's.
Well, we didn't decide.
We had the option, and we were talking about it with the doctors, and it was like, okay, let's do this. And you basically put...
Well, right, but they had gotten my scans, and they realized it was a dire situation.
Well, we weren't randomly just...
Right, but you presented it like we decided to put
there was a lot of problems, and we
there
were...
There was a lot of complications, and my intestines shut down. And so they saw the scans... And they were like, we have to do something. And so when we decided to put a tube down
nose. It wasn't like, hey, it's Tuesday. You want to get intubated?
I'm just saying this decision. It was like this, like, okay. They're like, it's really intense. It's, you know, you're not on painkillers. It's like they truly go through your nose, down your throat while you're completely.
The tube goes into your stomach. And you essentially just swallow the tube as they're pushing it down. And it's as thick as a pencil.
What are you saying? I really thought you would be out for something like that.
I thought I would too.
The most horrifying, I think, to experience, to witness. It was so crazy. And then
the decision happened like that. Is that not true?
Yeah.
It was like...
We made the decision quickly.
But no, it was like the doctor was looking at the scans. And then all of a sudden, this pencil-thick tube was going down my nose into my stomach.
And you can't really talk and you can't eat. And it's supposed to stay in for 24 hours.
And all I was like, this is the humor. This is the humor she's talking
about. But it is because it didn't work. It ended up not working. It was completely for nothing. And there was something about when it was taken out where it was like, that was funny. But we were also laughing at how many times we've been in the hospital for something going on that we've had many times where we've walked the halls of a hospital where I'm trying to recover with a walker and we hear noises coming from rooms like, and we're like, oh my God, what is happening in there? And then Stephanie was like, now we know exactly what is happening behind that door where someone's screaming.
Just fully on. I thought they would at least maybe spray something. Have you ever been to the doctor where, like, if they go in your nose, they'll sometimes spray your nose with a little numbing something so they can, like, get in there? I thought they'd at least give you that.
I thought there would be, it seemed like true, not like, oh, it was torture. Yeah. It truly seemed like somebody was trying to torture me. It didn't seem right, and it seemed like something was going to hurt me even worse with what they were doing. Anyway, it was no doubt not a good time, but we... it was not a good time.
But that's what I'm saying is the extreme of it, and then for it not to work, it's like there is some level of like we did laugh about that.
Yeah, we've laughed. I mean, I've been in adult diapers crinkling around, and Stephanie's filmed me with a video because she's laughing so hard. And that was the beginning of our relationship. I had to have emergency surgery after a show in Philadelphia and, ended up in diapers, just toddling around trying to heal. And, she was like, oh my God. And just filming me. So yes, there's humor.
Yeah. All right. Yes. I get that. Cause I think you and I are the same way. Right?
Yeah.
Serious situations. We're kind of goofs. I think you guys are kind of goofs too.
Yeah. I think also only for me, I think I'm only goofy in serious situations. Like I feel like I'm someone who agonizes over the dumb shit. But then when like it really goes down, I'm like, hey, isn't life a kicker? You know, like it's like, but so I think so. But I mean, also for that to happen early in the relationship, was it, I mean, it maybe feels a little, cliche or cheesy, but was that the kind of thing, you know, when you do experience that with somebody early on, it does kind of cement, like, you're in it. Like, it kind of, you're in it now. Like, you've kind of seen, I mean, top crinkling, you up in here crinkling. It's like, you in. You have committed to this human.
I mean, I do feel like there was a turning point in our relationship where it felt, for me, it felt more serious after that because, you know, we were stuck in Philadelphia in the hospital and then had to get a hotel room for my recuperation. And it just was not glamorous, but we had so much fun because we just enjoyed each other so much. And even though I was in a lot of pain and could barely walk, we were just lying in bed. And I had to take walks around the hotel. I remember the, you know, janitor was cleaning up and I think I just looked weird. Like because I was walking so slow and I maybe got a glance like, and then as the days went on, I think they started to realize that I was recovering. And then I was getting a, hey, looking, you know, like a thumbs up and in my progress.
And you were also in your hospital gown.
I think maybe.
Why was that? You didn't get out of it?
Well, I was in, you know, I whatever. It was a long road. But I think we got closer after the Philadelphia mishap. But I'm healthy now, and I'm healthier than I've been in 8 years. In the past 6 months, I'm like more, I'm better than ever, except the pandemic won't let me go prove it.
But that's why you have to do these podcasts, okay? You have to let people know that you are thriving, that you guys are winning.
Yeah, podcasts are the new Instagram.
Well, somebody described, who was it that said podcasts are the new, what is it? DMV?
Jury duty.
It's the new jury duty.
I don't know. I saw Lloyd from Entourage when I went to the DMV last, so.
Lloyd from Entourage?
I'm sorry that I don't know his name.
Okay, I don't know who Lloyd is, but I think you're very right. It's so funny to have a podcast and yet hate podcasts. That's where I'm at.
How long have you had your podcast?
What is this now? We're in year three?
I don't remember.
We're in year three.
I don't know. It's not that. I've totally like lost all conception of time. I was already felt like we moved out to Los Angeles in the middle of 2017, and already I find this to be a very strange temporal place because the weather doesn't really change that much. So my only understanding of time passing is seeing my visage. Seeing like myself get older in the mirror and just like noticing all the micro changes. And so like my face has become a clock. And so that already.
That's such a dark Edgar Allan Poe poem. Jesus, my face has become a clock.
No, if you read that poem, you'd be like, this person is terrible. This is not a good poet.
Wait, how long have you two been together? Is it like 12 years or something?
Coming up on 11.
Yep. Yep, 10 and a half.
Okay. I don't know why I'm keeping track of your relationship.
You have like a notebook with all your friends, how long friends the relationships are.
How long have you guys been together?
Married 5 and yeah.
Seven, right?
7 and a half, I would say.
Okay. So 2 and a half in, you got married. You got married 2 and a half in, but then I assume there was like a proposal like a little before that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys knew. It feels like you guys knew. Once the love was on, it was on.
Yeah. Really fast.
Yeah, we had gone to dinner maybe a month or two into our relationship, and I remember thinking I was so in love with Stephanie, and I, in previous relationships, would not have made myself so vulnerable just because I always joke that I talked in that high-pitched voice about people where I'd say, it's good, you know, it's good. Well, yeah, you know, I was up here. And then when people asked about Stephanie, I would come down to this place and I would say, oh my God, she's incredible. And we were out to dinner and I just thought, oh, I'll allow myself to be vulnerable. And I said, I have something insane to tell you. And she said, oh, what is that? And I said, I want to get married to you. And I was just ready for anything, any response she had. And she just said, yeah, that's how I feel. And I was like, what? I was so prepared to hear, you're insane and you need to calm down. do you want to tell them about when the I love you thing?
Oh, yeah. When we, I don't know how soon into it it was, but it felt like we hadn't said I love you like for too long. And I was thinking about saying it, and I think you were too. And we were at a restaurant, and I was just telling her about my friend. And I was saying, oh, yeah, I was telling my friend, you know, how great I felt about this relationship and how I was in love. And I, like, let it come out. And then I was looking at Tig to see if she had heard that. And she was just staring at me. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just kind of kept going as if it was really not said. And then later that night when we were back at Tig's house, she was like, oh, and I love you too.
Well, and when she casually said that, where she was like, oh, yeah, and I was telling my friend how I'm in love with this woman. And I even though I was casual, like you guys say, inside, I was like, oh, my God, she loves me. Oh, my gosh, she loves me. And then, yeah, and then when we got home, I was like, oh, I love you too.
Was it the in public part, or was it the, like, the casual part where you're like, I can't say it now?
She didn't even mean to say it. She was just...
Oh, I see.
She wasn't saying... She wasn't withholding it. She just was talking to me as though I was any friend of hers, and except that I was the person she was in love with, but we hadn't said that yet. And then accidentally said that. And meanwhile,
I'm thinking it's obvious, but then I'm like, oh, I guess we haven't really said that.
Yeah. That's not obvious, Steph. That's not obvious. Okay. I don't know what you thought that was. It seems like you were, it was like, literally, like, okay, because here's how I would have, like, you're like, so I'm saying I'm in love with this person who's you. And then Tig keeps talking. And then in your head, you're like, she didn't take the bait. She didn't take the bait. And then later, Tig is like, I love you too. And I'm like, damn, that shit was smooth.
That is.
That's like some smooth shit right there.
I would 100% panicked and like, wait, was that a mistake? Am I supposed to say, what's happening?
See, I was just like, oh my God, she accidentally said that. And I just got some insight and I need to. And meanwhile, she's still talking. So I'm just nodding my head going, uh-huh. Oh, interesting. But inside I'm like, oh my gosh. And then it wasn't until like an hour later that we're back in my house on the couch. And I'm like, back at you, kid.
Now, are you guys pretty, like, emotionally open? Was it, you know?
Yes.
But, I mean, like, have you always been, right? It took me, like, therapy, and still I am, like, strange. I'm still trying to.
Well, yeah, I was yelling at him earlier because I'm, like, in this phase. Every now and then I get in phases, and I think, like, in quarantine it's a yo-yo. Sometimes I'm like, get out of my phase. And then now I'm in this new phase where I'm like, I'm very obsessed with you. What are you eating? And then when I'm like that, he'll be like, I love you too. I'm like, what? Obsessed with you. You better come at me with a 10. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to come in hot.
I have a tough time processing good emotions.
And he won't, yeah.
I don't know what to do with good emotions. I don't know what to do with joy. I don't know what to do with happiness. It goes into my body. I feel strange. I'm like, this is a good thing. Why are you
in previous relationships?
Oh, closed off. No, not good. No. This is like real. This is like
the. This is doing it. This is thumbs up, Andy does. For taking Stephanie right now. This is thumbs
up. The love of my life. The woman I'm spending the rest of my life with. The woman whose body she'll find my body. Let's be honest. Let's be honest about
this. No, I think you'll find mine because I eat poorly. We'll talk about that later, Tig. Aren't you helping people eat better now?
The point is, this woman who I love so much, that thumbs up. That's how I can muster.
What an idiot. That's so funny. Like, now I think it's funny. I think, like, The first like year where I was like, what is, come on. And then I realized, oh, okay, like he grew up around the Pennsylvania Dutch, honey. They didn't learn how to express. And now I feel like, then I kind of was like, you should go to therapy and learn what it means when your stomach hurts. And now I feel like I get it. But then still sometimes it's just funny to me that 10 years in, you'll still be like, yeah, I love you too. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, it really still is tough to be vulnerable. I'm constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop everywhere. I'm waiting for
it. Yes.
I don't know if it's being Jewish. I don't know. If there's something in our past where, like, things went wrong, maybe sometime in the 20th century. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you still don't trust your relationship to...
No, I do. But I'm just I'm waiting for something to go wrong with everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can understand that.
But you guys seem emotionally healthy is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we've established that. They have healthy boundaries and communicate.
Oh my gosh, we are so perfect. You have no idea.
It's crazy. We have that in common.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I have a question. Is there something you guys each about each other? So you should take this one. Is there something you learned about each other during parenthood? Like once you had the boys that you didn't know before? Was there anything that kind of like changed in one of you or a side that came out? Or it's like, oh, I didn't know she could do it like this.
What I noticed about Stephanie after the boys?
Yeah. Yeah. If there's anything. And what Steph noticed about you?
You know, I have to say, obviously, we have a 15-year age difference between us. And obviously, well, you were 30 when mm-hmm. they were born. And that's a grown human being. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think that I was and continue to be really blown away by how mature and stepping up to motherhood Stephanie was and is and does. I just, when I think of myself at 30 to 35, I've told you that, right? I mean, I cannot believe what a great mother. I mean, I think it's kind of a general answer, but it's really true because I reflect on myself and I feel like I was only really possibly able to be a good parent. I hope I'm a good parent, at 40. That was when I felt like, oh, I could devote my life to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And before that, I don't think I was capable, whether it was romantic or a child, even though I wanted a child and I wished that I was amused by or interested in somebody longer than a year or 5 years or something. I just hadn't really found that. But at 40, and then I feel like, and I'm not saying it was easy breezy for you or us or me even at 45, but I was like, wow. And I think I took it for granted going in that we're on the same page. But when I really stepped back and saw what she was doing and what she was capable of, and, you know, she has such a full social life and career and, you know, basketball and improv and writing and acting and family and just everything. And and we were doing it together and it was just really, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. That's just so nice.
It's true. It's true. I still am like, every now and then I'm like, God, she's 15 years younger than me. You know, I just don't know what I would be like at 35.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what I was trying to get at when I was asking about, like, if you were always vulnerable. I mean, 'cause there was that change, right? Where you were like, I don't see myself with someone, or, and then
amused by. Yes. Remember that one? Tia had to say amused by. It was like, okay.
Wait, is that good or bad?
It is exactly what one of the best comedians in the world would say. Do you know what I mean? Like, I never find somebody I'm amused by. It's like, yeah.
I get it.
That's what you're looking for.
Well, it is, because there's, like, I mean, isn't that, like, one of the things that, like, bonds us? Right?
Right.
You can just sit there, and we can just goof around.
Right. No, totally. But I think it's, like, but that is interesting that it is definitely, like, to me, right? And you guys talk about the difficult things and the times where, like, the jokes are what help make it work. Like, Andy and I will always, I'm always like, what do basic people do? Like, people who don't have, like, a comedy background, where I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, how are these massive marriages lasting 50 years? You know what I mean? Among people who are boring?
I think, you know, I remember, well, wait, you have to say the thing.
Yeah, you have to say your stack.
But then I want to tell you how I think that it happens. Uh-huh. Remind me of Indiana.
Okay.
What I was going to say that I really noticed early on when our kids were born was just how on board you were and mm-hmm. such a participant. And not that you weren't before, but I feel like with them, you are so available. And I said to Tig, like when we were walking by this preschool, that there was, you know, that they have like a bulletin board and it says like for parents and there's all this stuff up on it. And when I see that, I'm like, oh, who gives a shit? And Tig's like, oh, gets her glasses on and is like, I need to hear and read every single.
Like, oh, hold on, Sevi. It says parent, attention parents. And she's like, what?
Did you have to read this whole bulletin for it?
And I'm like, well, yeah. Well, fine. I'll take a picture and we can read it when we get home. But she makes fun of me for all that stuff.
But I love that so much. And just like when the things that, you know, are really important with them, you take very seriously. And we just take the time with it. It's not casual. And I think you have there's a part of you that seems like, ah, who cares? It's fine. It'll all work out. And you do have that. But with them, it's so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're fine. You're good parents. You like your kids and care.
Yeah, we really like them.
This is good because they are right now white men, and you know there's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure right now to be bringing them up. You got to do double time, triple time. I'm trying to write this book called Audre Lorde for Babies, and I just want to see if we can simplify some of these concepts and give them to the Caucasian youth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad they have a solid foundation. This gives me hope. Now, Indiana.
Well, I was just gonna. I was going to say, I think it was Indiana, this guy that I knew from years ago, I was in town, I was somewhere in the Midwest, I can't remember where, and I was performing where his family was from, he happened to be in town, have I told you this story? Mm-hmm. Where they were going out to the lake house to meet up with their family and invited me along. And, and I drove with him and his parents and we were going through just rural middle America and the parents were in the front seats and me and the guy that I knew, we were in the back seat and we are grown adults. And he was leaning forward to the front seat. And he was like, mom and dad, tell Tig how you two met. And, and they were like, oh, son, I don't think she wants to hear. He's like, oh, and then the guy I know, he's like, oh, come on. Tell. And I was, just sitting there like, sure, I'm curious. And then the guy was like, the dad was like, I saw her across the gymnasium and I went over and asked her to dance and she said no and I kept asking her and she finally danced with me and then I just planted one on her. and I was sitting there going, well, that sounds like that sounded like nose. It sounded like somebody was forced into something. Like, it wasn't a charming, I know it's supposed to sound like an old-timey charming story, right. But it wasn't. And and I was just sitting back there going, oh. Because I was trying to picture if somebody kept saying,
dance with me, dance with me. No, 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 dance. You know, all that stuff. And then I think it was, there were more stories like that when we went to eat at the lake house and went out on the boat. And I think what I realized was just the simplicity of their lives. There was no real kind of off or interesting or different. It was very just simple. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like any story they told, it seemed like it could be just taken from anywhere. And like I'd heard all of their stories before through other scenario. I don't know. That probably sounds so offensive, but it struck me more than anything as just simple. They just seemed very, not like stupid people, but just very simple. And I remember in that moment thinking, I bet this is what keeps a lot of people together is simplicity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause I think there's like this, it's definitely like an elitist kind of understand where like, they're like, oh, those people, they're probably not really feeling joy or happiness or whatever. And then like people who are living, you know, uncomplicated lives are like, no, we're happy. This is fine. We're just not, we don't want the anxiety or whatever else you all are feeling. We don't need that in our lives. So we just have these 1950s-esque, in retrospect, stalker stories about how we met. And, you know, we go to the market and get some vegetables and come back and make a fruit salad and sit outside on a lawn chair. And
ugh, that sounds so comfortable. I'm like, honey, I'll take
yeah,
it.
It's like, yeah, it's like, sure. It's just like, no, it wasn't like in, it has to be like Dostoevsky. It has to be like some, I don't know.
Dostoevsky.
But like, I tried to think of like some like.
Right. No, I know. I mean, I know what you mean, though. I think it's like, I think that is true. I think it is like, I would, that's the thing. I think the elitism comes from people being like, these people are not happy. And it's like, no, they are literally thriving right now. And I'm over here worried about a TV show I watched. You know what I mean? Like, these people got it. But I do think that...
I'm fuming. I'm writing on Twitter about how the act break wasn't good.
Exactly.
I'm so furious.
It's like, why?
And I am not... And trust me, Stephanie can vouch for me that simplicity is very appealing to me. Like, maybe... Is that true? Or maybe,
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe I'm not seeing myself correctly. But I do... And I think
But there's something different about if you think of simplicity where you're like, I like just sitting on a porch swing and like it being time being slow and it being what it relaxes.
Well, yeah, I was going to say like when we go to Mississippi to my hometown, it's very sit on a porch swing, go walk by the beach or to the coffee shop. And it's a very it's simple. It's very
classic.
Simple.
Yeah.
And I love it. And Stephanie loves it.
Yeah.
But
I think it's the difference of when there's simplicity within the conversation. Where it's like when you see people sitting at the airport and they're a couple and they just, how's your bagel? It's nice. Did you get it toasted? I did. And you? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're calling our names. You're like, and there's just like and you're like, simple that's versus, your life? Yeah.
Simple versus unnuanced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the bad thing is the unnuanced. But I love simple. Like one of my fondest memories is sitting on my parents' porch on a Sunday afternoon, just reading a book and just listening to like the birds in the woods next door.
Oh my God, that's gorgeous. I grew up in Harlem. I don't have that. You know what I mean? Like when something like that's why for me, like I fetishize that stuff. Like my dream is like a lake house. Like I've never been to a lake house. Yeah. I want to know what happens there. But then at the same time, when I am in nature, I'm always afraid of being murdered. So it's like, it's not as relaxing because it is so foreign to me. But like, I love that.
Yeah, and then
the
people from nature would think they would get murdered in Harlem.
And see, they don't get it. In Harlem, there's always someone to hear you scream. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to be okay. But in nature, I'm like, that's literally where drifters stop their car. and then they just come into wherever the first house with a light on. Isn't that how murder works? Where in Mississippi?
Or the first house with a light off. What about Mississippi?
Where in Mississippi? What was your
the Gulf Coast?
Okay, my grandma. She's from Shibuda, Mississippi, an hour from Meridian, honey. Is it even really a town? But we went to Shibuda. We had like a family
reunion.
Yeah, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But it was funny though because Andy was like, "You want me to go?" And I was like, "I don't know if you could fuck with Shibuda." And I was like, "Just stay home, girl." Because also I was like, I knew there wouldn't be vegetarian options for him in Shibuda. Like, I was just like, you can maybe eat a biscuit and everything else is going to have meat in it. And so I was like, just stay home. But
I lose weight every time we go to Mississippi because we're vegan. And I'm like, I can't eat anything. I'm just like eating salad all day.
And beer.
Beer and salad. And I come back... My goal weight.
I always say Mississippi. Mississippi chews Stephanie up and spits her out every time, and she's come back.
I keep coming back.
Like she's been there almost 20 times now, wow. And every time she has blisters, sunburn, oh, no. Bug bites,
everything,
hungover. I mean, just everything that could possibly make her uncomfortable is happening. And she's like, these are my people. I cannot wait to come back.
I go in so strong.
She goes in strong.
And then I keep getting damaged.
Oh, my gosh. And my family is ready to throw down and party and just like, let's go. And Stephanie shows up for it. And she is like, I look over and she's dancing. She's in the middle of family portraits. And I'm like, what is happening? And she's like, oh my God, this is my place. And
wait, Steph, where are you from originally?
I was born in Arcadia by Pasadena and Claremont, California. And then I lived in Buffalo, New York. Very not Mississippi.
Yes, you need it. Yeah, you need some Mississippi flavor in your life. You needed it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, so I get funny. That. I get, well, out, but I don't know. There's something, I do feel that there's some kind of like resonance between the South and California. I've noticed that like my anxious Jewish energy clashes out here with everything. But that, like, when I talk to people who are from the South and people who are from out here originally, that there's a kind of, like, calmness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. For sure.
I'm thinking of Carl Tart, comedian Carl Tart, who's, like, from, and he's literally for the first few times whenever I run into him, he'd always be like, how do you live in New York? Like, that was, like, all he would say. He's like, it's too fast. Like, I don't, like, hang out, you know? And I do think LA is, I know LA is a city, but I think it's a pretty slow city. Like it's congested, but slow. You know, like it's like, come on, we're hanging out.
Well, that's why it's slow, because it's so congested.
Exactly. So you just sit down. Honey, you sit down. You sweat a lot here, just like in Mississippi.
Oh my gosh, the sweating in Mississippi.
That's what I can't do. Well, that's what was always to me so magical. That to me is like true black girl magic, because there will be some, these black girls will have beautiful fucking long straight hair. And I said, bitch, the humidity is 92%. How are you making this happen? She's like literally just fucking pressed it within an inch of her life just so she could walk to the car. I said, it's not possible. It's not possible in this heat.
Now, was that your first time to Mississippi or had you been?
No.
I had been there. I had not been there in probably... I don't know, 12 years, but we used to go a lot when we were kids and like because basically my grandmother's from Mississippi, but then everyone moved to Detroit, which is basically, I say Detroit is just Northern Atlanta. It's just like a black city with like a bunch of Southern folks who mm-hmm. went up there to like work at Chrysler, you know, like back when it was like the Motor City Hub. And so we would go there a lot. So I would spend the summer in Detroit and then we would like drive to Mississippi a few times, like, which, whew, that's a drive, honey. But yeah, so, but you know, I was never really, but again, being a city person, I was never really an outdoorsy kid, so they would make fun of me. You know what I mean? Like we're walking, I was like, I'm gonna sit here and read a book. You just call me when it's time to eat. Like, that's who I am.
So do you have anything fond about Mississippi, or is it just like,
family. No, it was good. Like, it was, no, it was nice and it was fun. And like, everybody is just like really warm and chill. Like, what I remember it being like, when we talk about simple, but also it was a place like nobody was fighting. Like, meaning like there was no bickering. It was always very like, all right, do what you want to do. You know what I mean? Or just be like, honey, I'm gonna be right here. Like, even when I like didn't want to run around, like nobody, like adults, like no one gave me a hard time about it. You know, it was kind of like, she's sitting, let the kids sit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like that, which I think is very different.
Is that accurate? Like, what is the, because I have only been ever given like a mass media version of what Mississippi is. I mean, what is the, like the reality? Is it like that kind of?
Well, I think that the Gulf Coast Mississippi is very different than rural northern Mississippi. There's different. The coast is, it's more liberal, more artistic, more, you know.
It has the New Orleans influence.
It has a lot of New Orleans influence because my hometown is just less than an hour from New Orleans. But what would you say Mississippi is?
I would agree with that everybody's just so chill. I mean, we joke, there were probably 30 people at her cousin's house, and there was a bunch of kids running around for the 4th of July, and one of her cousins had just had a newborn baby, she was getting ready to leave, and so she's like, all right, I'm out of here. Where's my baby? And everybody was like, oh, it's over there. Like, this, like, 1 month old, just like in a bassinet. It's like, that would never
with
happen here.
Dog licking it. And, you know, just, yeah, that was not our sons. That was not their, we were never like, really where's my baby? There was never a moment that we said, where is my baby?
But that it just is so telling that they're so trusting in everybody and everything. And even amongst that many people, it's like, it's okay. Whereas I think in Los Angeles, people are just so on edge around so many things, but certainly that.
I was just down there right before the pandemic, and Michelle Buteau had me, she was doing a travel show, and she had me go with her to show where I was from, and we went down there, and we were driving boats and just doing all sorts of fun stuff. We were having a blast, and then the wrap ended, you know, we wrapped the day, and I had called from where we were. We had rented the boat, and I called my family to just say, okay, well, I'm going to head over. And my cousin was like, well, why don't you invite your friends over? And I said, well, Jimmy, there's 30, 50 people. It's a whole production crew. And he said, well, I don't care. And invite everybody from the boat rental. And I was like, does everyone want to go to my cousin's house? I'm telling you, 10 minutes later, everybody's at my cousin's house. The music is blaring. Everybody's having a blast. They're having a crawfish boil in the backyard. Everybody was going nuts. And the whole crew, they kept saying, we're never invited to this kind of thing. It's just the stars that get invited. And so it was just the entire crew. And it was one of the best times I've ever had. And then the pandemic started. But I feel very lucky for that trip. But to me, that's kind of what Mississippi.
Yeah.
Like, and I tell people all the time, and I'm a broken record, but if both of you were going on a road trip, and I said, oh, here's my cousin's house. Pull up the driveway. The side door is always unlocked. Just go in. You don't even have to knock. Just go in and just say, hey, we're friends of Tig's. And she told us to come by. We're on a trip. And we were going to maybe stay for a week or two. There would be, and I am not exaggerating, not a single question. He wouldn't even call me to say, who are these people?
It wouldn't be until I went back to Mississippi that he would tell me that y'all were even there, and you would have the time of their lives.
Yeah.
The time of your lives. And he wouldn't have, my whole family would come over. They would entertain you. They'd want to hang out with you. There would be no questions asked who you were or why. There would be nothing.
Yeah.
There'd be nothing. Yeah.
That's okay. That's the openness that I think, where I am scared to have that kind of connection with other people like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not Naomi, obviously, right.
But just like letting people in, literally, letting people figuratively,
in, like,
yeah.
You know, like come over, like having someone, like a friend over in pre-COVID times, it was still like, did the cat spit up anywhere? Are the papers in order? Like that papers? Kind of like mental of just like a friend who doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like what, you know, and we have you can see the apartment. It's a very nice,
it's
clean
fine.
Apartment.
You know what I mean?
I'm
like
just saying
Andy
clean.
Keeps it tidy. Right. No, it's true. I mean, it's interesting though, because that's the way Detroit is. Again, it has that same hangout vibe. Like Andy came to Detroit a couple times. And I remember being just nervous because like when you get everybody over my grandmother's house, like we're all just there. Everyone's talking to everybody. The TV is blasting. Who's watching it? No one thinks to turn down the TV. Just talk louder than the TV. And so, like, that's the energy. Whereas, like, with Andy's parents, it's like, we're all eating. Now we're all sitting. And it's, like, kind of just, like, you know, just a real, I don't know. I'm just calling it Pennsylvania Dutch waspy energy. Like, waspy Jews. And so it's, like, a little more like that. And so I was very nervous when he came to Detroit because I was like, boo. It's Detroit. It's like, it's a little lawless. It's a little loose. You know what I mean? You're going to be the only white person for miles as well. And the moment I knew like he was good was like, we were there and we're sitting there and like Andy's sitting in a chair at the dining table. Cause we're just sitting at the table. No one's even eating. And I just look over and he's totally asleep. Chin to his chest, passed out. Loudest fucking room you could possibly be in. And he was like, I just had to take a nap. And I was like, yes, that's what you do here. Like, is he asleep? Sure. Let the man sleep. And then when he gets up and I'm like, do you want a plate? And then the best part was when you got there, who said it? My cousin maybe was like, Andy, we just got a Whole Foods. They just told him that apropos of nothing, that there was a Whole Foods.
We just got a Whole Foods.
Just
trying to connect.
Okay.
Well, they knew I needed my Annie's fruit snacks.
They know you need your fruit snacks.
And so that sort of openness, if you guys were driving through my hometown, would you stop in to my cousins or would you test that? Ooh. Or would you be like,
Well,
okay. Honestly, we would debate it for a while. We would be like, would this offend you if we didn't?
I would be scared to do it. Well, first of all, honey, I'm black, so I'm knocking. Okay, I ain't just coming in the side door, Tig. I'm knocking.
These aren't gun owners.
I know. You just can't be a random black person, though. In the South, you can't be random.
And I'm telling you, at this house, you could show up with, 50 black people not knocking, and there would be no issue.
All right. I mean, I would be like, we should try it.
Because people, look, I'll be honest. People have like offered stuff like that before to us. And I have a therapy tomorrow. So
sounds like a no.
I'll talk about this tomorrow. But I remember like when I lived in Philly, I lived in South Philly and in Italian neighborhood and everyone's very friendly. I was like in grad school and I had like no money. So people would bring me food. And I would smile and accept the food and be like, so thank you so much. And then I just wouldn't eat it because I would be like scared to eat it for whatever reason.
Scared of
He doesn't trust people. You guys, it got so bad. We had ordered, you know, takeout or delivery one night and they brought the wrong.
Last week.
Yeah. Brought the wrong order. But it was like a mushroom risotto, something you could eat veggie. It was like a salad. Like I was like, okay, this isn't my food. But honestly, this costs more than the food I ordered and I'm going to eat it. And so I ate it, and Andy was like, I'm not eating that. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's like from the restaurant. And he wouldn't even try it. He's like, that's not my food. And I'm like,
what if it was poisoned for someone? What if this specific, the person that they were sending this food to specifically, they're like, we're trying to poison that person. And then we accidentally get it. And we're like, oh, I'll dig into this mushroom risotto. Next thing we know, it's ricin filled or it's arsenic filled.
He's got a really, he makes a really good point.
I am so sorry, you guys. My neuroses, I've been so exhausted that you are now seeing the full brunt of my neuroses.
I think you have to let it out. I think the difference is, though, part of that openness, and I think part of why I'm a little, a way too open book, a book you didn't even ask to read, a book you didn't check out from the library, is because I grew up very, with my mom, like when I was at home with her and like going to private school, it was like really keep it together. You have to be perfect. These white people think you ain't shit, so you got to have it together. And so it was all about hiding every feeling. So I think now as an adult, I'm very like, yeah, I'm constipated and sad. Like I just kind of go that way when no one asks the question. But even letting people in, like people
didn't every night, Naomi. Every night, I'm constipated and sad. I'm constipated and sad.
But, like, also, people didn't come to my house growing up because I lived in Harlem and it was, like, Upper East Side private school. Like, their parents weren't letting them come uptown and they weren't letting them do that. So even now as an adult, I'm not used to having people over. Like, when – because Andy's more – I think you grew up with more, like, the cool hangout house as a teenager. And I – and so I'm always, like – and again, only
– that
child,
everyone was child. Trying to poison.
Trying to poison him at the hangout house. This is why.
So what is your, how does your mother deal with your comedy?
Yeah, so she was not allowed to attend my half hour taping. Still angry about it to this day.
She is? That she's mad that she couldn't go or because of what you said?
She's mad that I couldn't go because
she's
when
mad
I was
that she, it's not that she couldn't go, it's that Naomi did not want her to be there.
Well, because in New York, you know, because she's still in New York. And when I was living in New York, she had come to a couple shows and then she would come and give me detailed notes after. As though, you know what I mean? Like, and she was like, Naomi, why do you say, because I used to say something, a throwaway line. I was like, I used to drink to feel pretty. Now I eat to feel nothing. And she would like, she saw that one time. She was like, Naomi, I really don't like that you say that. You know, what do you think people think about you as a result? Or then other jokes where she'd be like, was I not a good mother? Like, it's that. So,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so she's got to stay kind of in the dark. I mean, like, has she ever listened to this? No, I'm not going to tell her how podcasts work.
My stepfather just informed me today that he watched an episode of my podcast. It's like, that's awesome.
Oh, my God.
So we've had tens of thousands of downloads, but one view.
Yeah, Apple Podcasts, like, we had to add this new metric in because there was one
for my stepfather.
A view.
The first time I was on a TV show that I guest starred on, I told my dad to watch it. And the next time I talked to him, I was like, oh, did you see the show? And he goes, yeah, which one were you?
Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. The one that was me. The one with my face.
My face. Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Which one was you?
That's
it's
wonderful.
Like you can't even.
I was like, were you in prosthetics? No. You had your own face. Okay.
No, it was
okay. That's
the face that looks similar to yours. That was me.
That was it.
It was your face with long hair. It's me.
Before we wrap up, just tell me really quickly between you and me and Andy, you know, like which one of your sons is your favorite?
Wait, why did you ask that question?
I don't know. Which one's the best?
We're not gonna say.
I'm teasing you. They must both be wonderful, but you know, if I was a parent, I would have a favorite. That's why I can't have kids.
You know what I'll say? I hoped when I had a child, whether it's one or five, or the two, I always hope, you know, people would, when you talk about having kids, they'll say, oh, especially being gay, and you know, oh, or how are you going to find, what are you looking for in a donor? Or what do you, and truly what I hoped for with all my might is that I would have a child or children that when somebody talked to one or them, that they would walk away and say to another person, oh my gosh, you have to go talk to that kid. That was all I wanted in a child. And we got it in both of them in very different ways. They are both people that I feel like if you talk to one or the other, you would go over to your spouse and say, oh my God, go talk to that kid. Go talk to that kid. And so that's exactly what I was looking for.
That's so good. That's so fun. I do like when kids have a little, because the way I do tend to talk to kids like adults, not like obviously personal, but I'm very like, how you doing, bud? You know, like, I'm just like, how are you? Talk to me. What you reading? What's that toy about? You know, like I'm kind of doing that. So I like when they have a little personality. I would play to teach. I play teachers a lot. Whenever I get like a part, it's always like teacher. And I'm like, am I warm? No. But I did single parents.
Not all teachers are warm. I don't know where you went to school in Harlem.
Well, I know, but they like,
well, honey, she went to a private school with a lot of wealthy white people. There should, Jeffrey Epstein taught there. I don't know why.
I wasn't there when Epstein was there.
I'm just saying. I don't. When you talk about Dalton, I don't think any of the teachers are warm.
No, they weren't really. But also in Harlem, the nuns at the Catholic school weren't warm either. I used to be like, why are they so mean if they work for God? Anyway. But wait, what was I going to say though? Oh, so when I was on Single Parents and I like was in a scene, you know, my classroom, kindergarten classroom, and it's me and 20 kids. And so, of course, I have like a couple like the extras, they standing around me and like we're trying to like chit chat between takes. Some of these children, dull as dishwater. I said, how did you get SAG? You know what I mean? How are you in SAG with this personality? Right. Fucking dull as shit. And I was livid. I was like, do you want to get a line eventually? You got a razzle dazzle. Yes, Andy, I said it. Some of them kids were born as fuck.
No, that's not it. Sorry, I was thinking about, I think one of the things, like, I would want that for my kids, and I don't know how I would handle if I made a kid and it was uninteresting. Sorry, I really didn't mean it like that. I just meant like I don't know what
you
I would
need a child to be nuanced, much in the way you need life to be nuanced.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
And I find the terror,
terror. What a world.
The terror of that is probably awesome. I mean, there's many reasons, but like, I think that terror is particularly piquant. Is that the word?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. You said, Tig, too, like you were 40 when the boys were born, 45 or something. Like, I think,
45.
Like, yeah, like maybe I could holler at that. Like maybe I just need a little more time to be like, okay.
Well, I always, you know? I always describe it, and trust me, I'm far from a perfect person, far from a perfect spouse, far from a perfect parent. However, I do think that the advantage is in being older, the advantage is I feel closer to the age of a grandparent. And you know how a grandparent is with a grandchild,
really patient.
Where yeah. they're just like, oh, look at them. You know, they're fine. I mean, and that's not how I am all the time. Right. I mean, at all. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm definitely discipline, and I am, you know, I get frustrated and irritated. And, but in general, I can connect with that piece of me that I think is what a grandparent can connect with. And I think that it's because I'm a 50-year-old person, you know? And so, yeah.
There's also something really crazy when you have twins because they've had the exact same experience and they're still so different. And you know you've done everything the exact same, and they've even had the exact same food, and they have completely different bodies. And they are, like, from day one, their personalities seemed so intact, and they've just stayed, that you do sort of go, oh, this doesn't really have a lot to do with me. that they just seem so themselves, and you're kind of there to like talk to them. It's kind of wild.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Now that's scary to me. Now I'm scared, Steph.
I didn't want to
say they come out fully cooked.
I didn't want to say it, but that I was also my surprise.
I'm like, oh my God, they're already themselves. They're already themselves. Oh my God, you guys, thank you so much for talking with us. This was
great. Thanks for having us. I know you've before it was hard because I was on tour.
Busy. I get it, honey.
Did you used
this live?
Did you always do this over Zoom, or was it to go in someplace?
It was live. I was asking y'all to do a live show.
That's right. I was never in town.
Saturday. Yeah, it was always a Saturday.
Yeah. So I was always on the road, and since my career is over, I'm very available. It took Stephanie 7 months to realize, 7 months into this pandemic, to realize that my career was over. She truly.
I kept thinking it was gonna come back.
Yeah, she kept, I was trying to make it clear, like, I'm done, and then, what in the past couple of days, I've seen it really hit her, and where she's starting to like say, wow, so you're really just not working anymore. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I'm not working anymore.
Well, 'cause she used to be out of town so regularly, and now I'm almost every weekend.
Home. I am home. And it's been a really amusing few days to watch her really realize, like, no, I'm done. I'm home. I'm home.
What you're doing, Stephanie, to get your time alone? You're like, I'm used to having Friday to Sunday to me. What you doing, Steph? You just go in the backyard and hide under a tree?
Just head out.
Yeah, just out. Oh, my goodness. I know. No, it can't be. I got to do stand-up eventually. I'm sick of talking to my phone. Do you know what I mean? Like, to the camera on my phone. I got it. But also, I don't want the cocoa. So, maybe do stand-up in 2022?
So you're not doing those kind of shows that people are doing that are half full or in a baseball field or?
Absolutely not. I've done some Zoom shows, you know, where no one's laughing and no one's there. But
why do you not go out into and a drive-in?
I'm not going to do it. Every time, right, I agree to do it and then I grumble about it all fucking day to you. And then you're like, why did you say yes? And I'm like, I don't need to hear that now. You know what I mean?
And so you're not doing that because I don't have an interest in those shows. I want to wait until stand-up comes back in the way that, even if it's the audience wearing masks or getting tested, whatever it is that happens, I want to be on stage with a full room, not in a mask, not online. Yeah. And I applaud the people that are doing it, but I also am not willing to travel. I'm home until I hear otherwise and then I'll leave again.
You're right. I think, but also you've been doing stand up long enough and your career is stable enough. I feel like I was at this point where things were just kind of starting to pop off. So I feel this little like, people have to remember I exist. You know, I think that's what propels me to do that. Because that's the only reason. Because, like, no, it don't feel good. God damn it, it don't feel good.
Yeah. I mean, I miss stand-up, and I love it, and I can't wait to go back to it. But I just, we were just having this conversation tonight. 70 said, so you're essentially just like an out-of-work actor now. And so I was like, yeah, like I'll act and we write stuff together and produce and stuff. But that, like, if there's no project, if we don't have something in development or in production, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just here. I'm just a comedian off the road for however long.
And how did you feel about that, Stephanie? How are you feeling? Is it a cold? Is it a cold chill in your spine or?
No, not at all. It was more just this feeling of like to me, Tig is such a stand-up first and almost foremost, and anything that she got in terms of acting, I was always like, oh, how great.
How cute.
It was always this like random thing that seemed kind of fun that she was doing, and it blows my mind that now that stand-up piece isn't there, and it's just those looking or doing those kinds of things where it's like, wow, you're just like an actor. Like, it just seems so different.
And it's tough.
It's not just the pandemic. I mean, all the like real factors, like people out of work and struggling. Also, on top of it, there's this identity crisis that's been thrust on a ton of people where it's like, well, I thought I was this thing. Now I thought like that was like some part of my identity. And it's like, well, it is still, but I can't access it. So now I have this like, I'm not saying this is you, but I'm saying like, I now have this like extra existential kind of like, what's going on?
Right.
Good times. Again, you know, great times.
Welcome to my brain, everyone.
We have to let them go to sleep. Sorry. They only get like 90 minutes once the children are asleep. So we have to let them
go. If only we had that. But Naomi, I just want to say, nobody's going to forget. And if anyone began to forget or didn't know about you, they're going to be so excited when you reappear because you are such an exciting person in comedy. And
Thank you so much. That's going to be my ringtone. It's so good that we're recording this. Because
I'll be able to take it. It is true. I am thankful that I found out about your existence. I think you're a gem.
Stephanie!
It's true. I've blabbed about you many times to Stephanie. I think you're tremendous.
Thank you so much. Wow. This is huge. I'm going to go to sleep before I overthink it. You guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for hanging in there and being patient with our arrival to the show. It was so fun. And it was great to see you both again.
Thank you guys so much.
All right. All right, you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out UnitedHealthcare insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.